We've been studying for the last several weeks, actually almost 2 months now, about essential church and how church should be essential to our lives and how we should desire to have church be essential in our lives. And see, church just doesn't force its way on you and all of a sudden it just becomes essential. It's something that we have to desire to have church be such an important part of our life that we don't want to do without it. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we're trying to get across is that is what does it take for us to become a church where people want to be? What does it take for us to become a church where people say, I just have to be there. I can't do without it. It's essential to my life. We talked about several things. We talked about that for church to be essential, that needs to be simple. Right? Simple church, the structure. Doesn't need to be real complicated, a bunch of whole different things that I have to keep track of and remember. It needs to be simple. We also talked that it needs to be deep. We need to study the deep truths of the Word of God, not just real surface level. You know, God is love, and that's great because He is, and that's important. But there's so much more. And we need to study that. And how do we do that? We do it regularly, constantly. And then we talked about that as church, we need to be able to expect things from one another. We made the analogy that just like if you join a civic organization, they're going to have expectations on you. If you join a club, a fraternity, the PTA, whatever it is, they're going to have expectations of you. They're going to expect you to be there. They're going to expect you to be active and involved. If it's an organization that depends on dues, they're going to expect you to pay your dues. And how we as church members ought to expect things of one another also. Today we're going to wrap this whole session, this whole study up, by talking about multiplication. That the essential church is a multiplying church. What do I mean by that? Evangelistic. It's a church that has its heart set on going out, sharing the good news, the gospel. That's what the gospel means. It means good news. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, how it's changed our life and affected our lives, and how He has the power to change other lives. That's what that means. And we're going to talk about that today. Evangelism is not just an option for Christian churches. It's not just an option. It's not even an option. It's a mandate. We find that in Matthew chapter 28. And I believe I have these verses up there. Matthew 28, beginning in verse 18. It says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age.'" There's lots of stuff in that passage right there, folks. Go and make disciples of who? All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We showed that this morning with Kayla. Baptizing her in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then, listen to this. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. You see, there's more. Our responsibility to Kayla is now even more because we have to continue to teach her the commands and teach her how to live a life that honors God. You see, so there's more. It goes on. That's called discipleship. That's called training. That's what we do as a church. We not just go out and share the good news and then dump them off somewhere. No. We bring them in and we say, look, now that you know Jesus, let me teach you how to know Him better. Let me show you what He says about how we're to live our lives. Let me show you how He has a plan for you and how He wants to tell you what that plan specifically is for your life. In this study, this essential church this book that I read, I've been telling you about, and they did a lot of statistical studies. And in this study, every church without exception, that was found to be effective in keeping people in church? Every church is highly intentional about evangelism, without exception. If they were an effective church in retaining people, it's because one of the reasons is because they were highly evangelistic in nature. You know, Essential Church, this whole study grew out of the fact that 7 out of 10 people leave the church. Even if they grew up in church, by the time they hit between ages of 18 and 22, 70% leave church. Now, over a period of time, some of them come back. And we're going to talk about why some of them come back too. But 70, that's a lot. That's a passing grade in English, unless you look at it the other way. Okay, if you look at it the other way, only 30% are retained in church. And that's not a good grade. I know about those too. 30 is not a good grade. That's where the American churches are, is at 30% retention of people in church. Essential churches have simple structures that can be understood and embraced. Essential churches strive to take their members to deeper biblical truths. Essential churches have an environment of high expectations of members. And today, essential churches must seek to multiply. That means to reach beyond our walls, reach beyond our doors, and touch people for Christ. Half of the rechurched, and rechurched is a new word, it was a new word to me. A rechurched person is someone who used to be in church, they dropped out, they quit for whatever reasons. We talked about all those reasons why people leave church. But then at some point in their life, they've thought, I need to be back in church. Whether it's, you know, whatever happened, we call those life events. Those people that have come back to church are called rechurched. Okay? When they leave, they're dechurched. When they come back, they're rechurched. I'm learning all kinds of new vocabulary. But listen, half of those that came back, you know why they came back? They're back in church because of the encouragement of a friend or a family member. Half of those people that left and that came back are back in because of the encouragement of a friend or a family member. Matter of fact, 8 out of 10 people that have been in church, actually, the study was 8 out of 10 people, period. 8 out of 10 people will come to church if they're invited by a friend or a family member. Did you know that? They did a lot of surveys, and it totaled up to about 80% of people would say, yes, either I'm at least likely or I'm at least somewhat likely to attend church if I'm invited by a friend or a family member. But as I was writing this, some of this statistic stuff down and making some notes, I thought, but you know what? There's a lot of churches that it would do very little good. I would actually even say damaging to invite these people who may be receptive to coming back to church and giving church another shot. It'd be damaging maybe even to invite them back only to have them turned off by stagnant churches. Come to church. Give church another shot. Okay. All right. I'll give church another shot. And they come to church and they find something that's just stagnant and something that's watered down, something that's weak, something that's not appetizing. Come on, let's put this in. If you go to a restaurant, somebody says, oh, you've got to try this new restaurant. It's the best place I've ever been to. You go, okay, I'll go check it out. And you go and check it out, and the floor's dirty. The food, I mean, once you finally get a waiter to your table or a waitress to your table, actually, they don't call them that. They call them servers now. When you finally get a server to your table, you know, and you order your stuff, it's a long time before you get your food, and you get your food, and it's just kind of mediocre. You're thinking, well, what's so special about this? How likely are you to go back to that restaurant? Unless it's like the closest thing to your house and you're in a hurry, right? I mean, let's be honest. The same is true with church. If you invite somebody to come back to church, you finally get them off the hook and they're thinking, okay, I'm going to give church another shot. We bring them to a church and it's like, really? This is it? You see, so there's more responsibility on us than just saying, hey, come to church. We have to help create an environment that's I don't even know how to describe it, enthusiastic, energetic, something that where when people look in, they feel it, they go, wow, there's something special about this. They're not just going through the motions. They're not just here because it's Sunday and they don't have any other place to be. Or they're not just here because they're supposed to be here on Sunday. They want to be here. Why is it they want to be here? I want to find out. I'm going to come back next week because I want to know. We have a responsibility to help that happen, y'all. I just ran off my notes and left them, and I have to find my place again. Turned off by stagnant church, stagnant worship, or style that's irrelevant, or weak teaching. We talked about life events, and what life events are these. You know, sometimes somebody experiences a life event, and they decide to get back into church. You know what some of those are? Some of you, me, are back in church because some of those life events. Maybe it's we're having a baby, or we had a baby, and we feel like we need to bring this child up in church. Okay? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but this may apply to some of you guys. Maybe you're to the point to where I lost a loved one. Maybe I lost a loved one, and I know that person was you know, with the church, they had a good relationship with Christ, and I want that for me. And maybe that event prompted that. Maybe it was a time of sickness, and somebody came and they took care of you. Maybe that person said, you know what, why don't you come to church? Whatever the case may be, maybe we found ourselves down and out, completely without a job, and the church, you know, we found help in the church. We found a place where we could be accepted. Maybe you got married, and your new spouse said, we're going to church, right? And you're going, oh, yeah, all the time. And maybe you started going to church then. But whatever reason, certain life events draw people back to church. There's a chart. Taylor, can you put that chart up there? I want to show real quick. This is just a little quick glimpse of who attends church in America each weekend. They call this generation the builder generation. That's those born before 1946. If you're of that generation, 51% of those people are attending church this morning somewhere. The boomers, between 1946 and 1964, 41% of those people are attending church somewhere. This next generation, they call the busters, and I'm not sure why they call them busters. Listen here, buster. But listen, from 1965 to 1976, if you were born in that span of years, 34% of those people are in church. Do you see a trend? As we get younger and younger, we have less and less people in church. The Bridgers, that's 1977 to 1994, 29% of those people are in church. What's that say to us? We better do something. It won't be many generations, y'all, till this number is nil, down to zero. No new people going to church. Why? Why do we see the decline of the American church? The answer is because what we've been talking about. People just say, church is not essential to my life. I've got other things to do. Places to go, people to see, things to do. It's not essential to my life. I don't need it. I can still have a relationship with God and not be in church. And we talked about that. While that's absolutely true, you can have a relationship with God and not be in church, but is it a great relationship? That's the question. Is it a growing relationship? Thank you. Is it something that's improving and going deeper and gaining knowledge and understanding in? And the chances are, if you're not involved in a fellowship, not involved in studies, not involved where you're interacting with other people of like mind, you're probably not growing like you should. If one word described essential churches, it would be this word: intentional. One thing that I found in my study of this topic is that the churches that have been successful, the churches that are called essential churches, are highly intentional. What do you mean by that, Brother Mike? They're intentional about having a structure that aids the discipleship process, that helps people move, invites people, encourages people to get involved. They're intentional about moving Christians to a deeper walk with Christ and deeper teachings of the Bible. And they're intentional about multiplying, reaching those who left the church and reaching those who are not Christians and who maybe not, have never even been in the church. They're intentional about evangelism. That's what we call that, going in and sharing the good news, sharing our testimony, telling people, you know, that this is, I was like this, and now I'm different. I'm like this, and here's why. You know, that's called evangelism, sharing that with somebody else. This idea of multiplying is most effective when it's relational, though. You know what that means, relational? That means it's not about, hey, come to church. My preacher's going to tell you everything there is to know. Remember earlier we looked at 80%, 8 out of 10 people will come to church if invited by who? Friends or family. Friends or family. What is common about friends and family? Relationships. That's it. People that have relationships with someone have a certain pull on them. Because of the relationships, they're able to have a little more weight, maybe, with what they say. Now, I know sometimes everybody could say, well, I have a relationship with so-and-so, and I have no weight with me because I know them. I understand that. But it's through those relationships. It's through relationships that people come to know Christ. It's your friends that need Jesus Christ. It's your family members that need Christ. I would dare say that everyone in this room knows somebody that doesn't know Christ. Maybe everyone in this room knows somebody that maybe they know Christ, but they're not involved in anything, and they're not growing. They're not maturing in their relationship. Guess what? It's you through those relationships that'll get them back if they come at all. If we can't even talk to the ones we love about church, if we can't even share Christ with the ones that we love, we might as well forget about the ones we don't even know. Think about that a minute. If we can't share Christ with the ones that we love, if we're not concerned about the ones we love and invite them to get involved somewhere, we can forget about the people we don't even know. You know what? That's just what most churches in America have done. They've said this. It's too difficult. People in this day and age, they don't want us coming and bothering them. So we'll just have church, and if they want church, they'll come to us. And if they don't, well, it just wasn't meant to be. Baloney. Baloney. It's our job. Christ, what did he say in chapter 28? He said, go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. He didn't say, if you have time, go do this. He didn't say, top five on my suggestions for good church would be something like this. No, he said, do this, go. All over the place. I was thinking a while ago, I thought, you know, if evangelism cannot be the heartbeat of the church if it's not the heartbeat of the people that make up the church. Church, in this sense, you know, when we look at the simple structure of an essential church, okay, that's an organizational thing. We need to make the organization needs to look at itself. The organization of church needs to look at itself and say, okay, we're simple here. We're not complicated. We're doing things that people can understand. Okay? The organization needs to look at its teaching. Okay, we're doing this. This is teaching. We need to take people to the next level. We need to get a little bit deeper. That's what the organization does. The organization creates an atmosphere of expectation. We expect our members to do this. Remember what we talked about? We expect people to come to church. We expect people to be involved in a Bible study, and there's many of those available. We expect people to honor God with their money, right? We expect one another to live holy lives. We have expectations of each other. The church has an expectation that you would get involved in some sort of ministry. That you would be involved in the prayer ministry. You'd be involved in helping with the soundboard, helping with something else. You'd be involved in writing notes and letters. You'd be involved with some part of the church, some part of ministry. You'd be involved teaching, working with the kids, doing something. Working VBS. There's all sorts of things. But there's an expectation of us that we would do those things. And that's organizational. But listen to this. As far as evangelism, this is not really on the organization. But the organization responsibility is to encourage us because the statistics have showed that it's a relational issue. I don't know the people that you know. The church, this organization, is not friends with your friends. If they don't come here, the church doesn't know them really. Okay? So it's about you as individuals. It's about me as an individual. Going to those people that I know, to my friends, to my family, to the people I work with, the people I run into that I've generated a relationship with. And it's just say, hey, have you ever thought about going to church? That's where it starts. 80% of the people that you'll invite, if they're your friend or family, will come to church. Evangelism is individuals working towards a common goal. The organization doesn't lead people to Christ. Relationships lead people to Christ. Because Christ wants to have a relationship. Do you know that? Jesus Christ wants to have a relationship. You're thinking, well, how can we have a relationship with someone I don't even know? There you are. You got to get to know him. How do you get to know him? By spending time in his word. By being around other people that know him. Where do we do that? We do that at church. Evangelism, y'all, that's a scary word. Because here's what most people think of when they say, evangelism, we're going to be evangelistic. You know what comes to most people's mind? This right here. Hello, stranger. I'd like to invite you to our church, Dolan Baptist Church. Would you come down to see us, and we'd be glad to have you at our church. Thank you. Goodbye. Oh, I'm so nervous. That scared me to death. I'm going home. I can't do it anymore. That's what most people think of when you say evangelism. Or this. Hello, stranger. God is love, and Jesus loves you. And if you don't know him, you're going to go to hell. And so turn or burn, sucker. Now, tell me, how many of you have something similar to that in your mind when you think of evangelism? Nobody? Okay, I saw one. I saw a hand back there. Some others of you are lying because you have that in your head, I know. But it's not about that, y'all. That's not what evangelism looks like, really. Here's what evangelism really looks like. Hey, friend, I know you're going through a hard time right now. Is there anything I can do? Is there anything I can do that would help you? Can I just come over and visit with you? Hey, sister-in-law, I know things are tough. I know you're having a lot of trouble with the kids, and let me tell you something. I've been there. I've had trouble with my kids. Can we just have coffee and talk? That's evangelism. And then when you talk, you say, you know what? This life is tough, and I don't know how we do it. And you say things like, can we talk again? Can we visit again? Let's go hang out. Let's go do something. You do that, and over a period of time, people say, you know what? That person's not as bad as everybody say they are. It's through those relationships that give you the door to introduce someone to Christ, or give you the door to say, hey, there's some other folks at my church that have kind of gone through some of the same stuff. Won't you come down there and kind of check us out a little bit? I don't know about you, but when I go to church on Sunday, I leave feeling a lot better. Give it a shot. What do you think, friend? Things like that is evangelism. It's not knocking on strangers' doors, although there's that involved too in some aspects. But it's through our relationships. It's through the people that we already know. It's through those people that we work with, that we live maybe even with, or our relatives, that we know that they need something. They're missing out. Can you know Christ without being in church? Absolutely. Are you going to know Him as much as He wants you to know Him without being in church? I doubt it. Now, I know I'm speaking to you, the ones that are in church today, right? But guess what? It's not just all about us. How many times have we said that? It's not just about us. Church is not inwardly focused. It should not, let me say this, it should not be inwardly focused. It should not say, oh, well, we'll open the doors and whoever comes, we'll have a big old party, yee-haw. And we'll just have a good old time and a grand time. And if they don't come, they're missing out. And it's not going to tell them either. It's going to be our secret. That's not what it's about. It's about creating an atmosphere that is inviting, that's true, that's deep, that has expectations. And when people come in and we invite them in, there's something here that's meaty for them to grab hold of. Where they come in and go, wow, there's some good stuff here. I think I'll come back and check it out again. And it's not, listen, all of this is not directed towards adding people to our numbers. That's not what it's about. It's about helping people grow deeper in their relationship with Christ, helping people to come to know Christ, because that's where the kingdom is built. It's built in the hereafter. Excuse me, it's built for the hereafter, but it's built today. We're to be busy. Maybe you thought this Christian thing was cool because all you had to do was just walk the aisle, shake the preacher's hand, and then just kick back until you die in days and you got your golden ticket punched. Guess what? Jesus tells us there's something different. There's something a whole lot more to it than just that. And it's our job, it's our duty as a church to seek that out, what that is. What does it mean? What else do we need to be doing? There's tons of stuff in here, all throughout the book of Acts, all throughout the New Testament, which refers to the Old Testament. So it's all throughout the Bible about how we're supposed to be as a people, how we're supposed to reach people, how we're supposed to treat people. All of that is in here. And guess what? Very little of it is directed at ourselves. It's all directed at someone else. God said, love me first. And then love everybody else next. Right? But He said, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you love yourself, love your neighbor that much. Love them enough to say, hey, neighbor. Hey, friend. Hey, family member. Won't you come down and check out church? And it's quite possible that 80% of those people you'll ask will come through the door because of the relationship you have with them. And maybe, who knows, maybe when they get here, God will prompt their heart. Maybe God will talk to them and encourage them through the power of His Holy Spirit to say, you know what, I'm going to try this thing again. I'm going to encourage. Maybe the Holy Spirit encourages someone to come back, to get involved. That's where church grows. That's how church grows. Deep relational stuff, folks. You all have relationships. I have relationships. And it's through those relationships that where we need to work. We need to focus to grow the kingdom of God. Are you willing? Are you ready? Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning as a result of somebody saying, hey, come to church. That's awesome. We're glad to have you. But now guess what? Now you have a responsibility to go tell somebody else. See how it works? It's kind of like a pyramid scheme, I guess, but it's a good one. It's a real one. It's a true one. Network marketing, you might could say. Let's tell people because it's true and it's good. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you're one of those who's now come back to church. And maybe you're back because you found that church is important in your life. Awesome. I hope that we as a church can be what you need us to be to help you to grow. But guess what? There's others out there. There's others out there that need to know the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's our job to tell them. It's our job to tell them. I'm not sure where you are today in as far as your relationship with Christ. I'm not sure where you are as far as what you want from church. But I bet you want something that's real. I bet you want something that's genuine. I bet you want something that's meaty. Otherwise, why would you even waste your time being here, right? So, my encouragement to you this morning would be this. Take the food that is there and nourish yourself with it. Take the food that's found in this Bible. Nourish yourself with it. Get stronger. Gain strength. And then use it for God's purposes. We're going to give you just a moment to respond. Because maybe there might be someone here that wants to say to publicly, I once was this way, but now I'm changed. And I want to tell somebody about it. I'll be here if you want to come tell me about it. There's prayer benches here on the sides if you want to come and have a word of prayer with just between you and God. Whatever the case is, this is our time. We call it the invitation. And it's not an invitation for you and to come to me. This is strictly an invitation between you and Christ. And I would encourage you to respond. However that needs to be, that's between you and Him. But let me encourage you to do something about it. His word demands a response. Would you stand and we'll sing?